Welcome to Scrappy ABM, your source for groundbreaking approaches that don't break the bank. ABM shouldn't cost $200K in tech to even get started. So if you want to get started with ABM or make your program even better without investing a massive amount of money, you're in the right place. Each week, we'll hear from the brightest minds in the marketing world who are redefining ABM, achieving incredible results with untraditional methods, limited resources, and a whole lot of creativity. This isn't a show about how much money you can spend on fancy tech or overhyped tools. Instead, it's about celebrating creative problem solving and the scrappiness it takes to get ABM right. We'll dive into how these marketing leaders built robust ABM strategies with limited resources, revealing the actionable insights that led to their biggest wins. So if you're a marketer ready to challenge the status quo and build a scalable, efficient, effective marketing strategy, Scrappy ABM is the show for you. So if you're ready to discover ABM strategies that are lean, impactful, and utterly transformative, let's dive into this episode. Hello and welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. This is your host, Mason Cosby, and today I'm joined by Tanya Sayas, who is the an ABM consultant that has some incredible, very accessible, practical playbooks. If you're not following her on LinkedIn already, you should absolutely go do yourself a favor and do that today. And we're going to be digging into a playbook that is exactly perfect for SMB mid-market space using LinkedIn, email, and direct mail. So Tanya, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, so I'm really excited to be with you today, Mason.
Well, what I always love to start with when we start to think through playbooks, the first question everybody has to think through when it comes to ABM is, where are we finding our audience? I'm curious, as you're working with these organizations, where are you helping them find their audience in the first place?
Yeah, so that's actually a very good question, because when we are talking about SMBs, and those some SMBs happen to have a small market, we have a tons of information in the from the sales teams. So it really depends on the size of the market. If we are talking about a relatively small TAM market, the thing is that we can have those type of information from sales rep, the sales reps, and then we can get data information and contact information from a lot of different tools. So that's how I get the audience. I mean, it is tools, but most importantly is from market knowledge that our client has in-house.
Yes, I mean, it sounds like you're talking to sales reps, getting an understanding of, hey, we've worked with these kinds of companies. It's working super well. So I'm curious, when you take that information, are there any specific tools you'd recommend kind of going to pull out that audience?
Yeah, so there are, as you know, Mason, there are tons and tons of tools where you can do data enrichment, different data. I mean, there are a lot of scrapping capabilities out there. Of course, we have to take into account the region that we are going to work on. If it is Europe, we need the GDPR. It needs to be GDPR reliant. So the data enrichment, it can has some limitations, but there are a lot of tools that can work. You have Cognizance, you have Enrich. Then in the US, you guys have a lot of different tools, Lasha, ZoomInfo. I think that the key here is to make sure that we get granular and we get not only the contact information or that we have, but we also have that specific property or information that is going to make us get that data to fuel our ABM program.
Yeah, so what I love about what you're saying here is don't just go put your ICP into a list, but actually look at the data, actually get really granular and understanding, like, why would we actually go after these people specifically, more than just, again, ICP fit list, let's pull it and let's just kind of sequence these people. Am I hearing that all correctly?
Exactly. And it is not a quantity game, but a quality game. So as you said, it's not like pulling that data with that list with a lot of data and like tons and tons of contacts. Contact is about doing sometimes like a backward engineering kind of exercise and saying, okay, so for our playbook or our program, what are the actions that we are going to do? And then what are the specific information that we are going to put in our content? and how we are going to personalize it. And based on that personalization, then we try to pull the information. So I think that we need to go a little bit, we need to get into the weeds. And then when we get into the weeds, we get to, we identify or we pinpoint the type of property or information that we want to pull. And then depending on that, we choose the platform and the tool that we want to utilize.
Yeah, so what I'm hearing from you is, again, obviously we need to talk to sales, understand the audience that we're going after, but also looking at capabilities of our organization. Like, where could we actually distribute information and what content do we actually want to use that and personalize to actually engage this audience? Am I hearing all that correctly?
Exactly, yes.
Perfect. Exactly. So on that note, let's go ahead and talk through what are the channels that you would recommend using as a starting point for an ABM program?
Mm-hmm. So when we are launching an ABM program, there's no a one-size-fits-all solution. But in my ABM programs, I try to do things in a simple and agile manner. So the mantra that I follow is easy scales when easy fails. And I think, or I try to stick it to one vertical, two channels, and around a 12-week program. So I try to conceive it as a sprint, and the channels that I activate are very often are LinkedIn and email. So I create email and LinkedIn cadences, and then I give it an extra twist by creating personalized videos. And then I also like to add another layer to it. Create a direct mail campaign. So what I try to do here is to do something that is highly personalized. So to get as much information as we can about the different members in the account, and then create something that is specifically for that account.
Yeah, so again, what I'm hearing is, and I think it's super smart, because when we think about personalized content, often people really complicate that. But I mean, something that's just as simple as, hey, let me record a video that goes along with the content that we already have and kind of, again, take existing content or just take existing context and creating a video that is one-to-one personalized content. It takes effort. It takes time. But it's a super helpful way for actually personalizing the experience from an account-based perspective. So what I'm hearing is, again, like, let's engage over LinkedIn. LinkedIn is a publicly accessible channel. If you've got the right data, go through an email channel as well, because again, you can generally speaking pretty easily sequence people and do manual outreach. So it is still personalized all the way through, but you've got a great process. And then lastly, sending personalized videos as a part of that outbound sequence.
Exactly.
Are there any other channels?
Yes.
Are there any other channels that you'd recommend using to make an impact on these accounts?
So LinkedIn and LinkedIn and email cadences, and then I would add a direct mail on top of it. Yes. So here what we can do is to tier our accounts, and those accounts that are highly strategic, then we can add something that is super personalized with the objective of creating a wow experience.
So when we think through sending direct mail, I'm curious, like, do you have any recommendations on what to send? Because I know, especially if we're trying to make it personalized, it's hard to make it a blanket statement. But I'm just curious, in your experience, what are good gifts that were good kind of parameters around gifts to send in an ABM program?
Yeah, so I think that when we are addressing direct mail, I think that we need to, or at least my way to go about it is to try to ditch like kind of prepackaged solutions like Starbucks gift cards. For example, something that I did for one of my clients in the past was so they were operating in the ready to eat meal manufacturing program. So what we did was to create a personalized apron for each person in the account. And it was pretty cool. They really like it because it was like the name and it was the best chef in town. So that's something that you cannot have in one of those direct mail like platforms. That's something that we did. I mean, we did. I mean, we paid someone to do it for us, but it was something that it was produced locally, and that it was pretty, it was very kind of handmade, and they enjoy it because there was a human touch to it.
And I just love the tie-in even to what they're doing. I mean, clearly they should hopefully enjoy being a chef. Yes, exactly. So again, it's that's so, so smart. So again, we've got LinkedIn, direct mail, personalized videos, and email as kind of our main channels. Are there any technologies that you're using or would recommend using to run programs like this?
Yes. So, so on one side, we have the data enrichment and data data scrapping capabilities that we have already covered. Then we have the for the video. Okay. So at the beginning, I utilized Vidyard, and now I moved to SenseSpark. I really like SenseSpark because now, thanks to the AI capabilities that they recently launched, you can transform a one-to-many campaign into a one-to-few campaign. So the way that I go about it is I create a video that is personalized for a specific vertical. And thanks to the AI feature that they have, I don't have to repeat the name of that of each single person at each time. So what they do, I don't know how they do it, but basically I say, hey, watermelon or something like that. And then they replace or they kind of recreate my voice according to the tone of my voice and my accent. And then they plug the name of that person in each video. So
I mean, it saves
a lot of time, yeah, for me.
So you're recommending for the personalized videos, SenseSpark. Are there any other tools that you would recommend for kind of the outbound sequencing components?
Yes. So for the outbound sequencing components, I mean, there are so many solutions out there like Reply, Snowvio. I've used Snowvio and it's for me, it's a no-brainer. And something that a tool that I'm using since the end of last year is Lemdest because that's something really cool that they launched last year that was that is around personalizing landing pages and photos according to different tokens. So it is basically like having an outbound or an outreach platform plus a content personalization platform. So I think that is pretty easy to use for most people. Yeah, and you have two tools in just one.
Yeah, specifically that content piece. I mean, if you were to marry SenseSpark with personalized content at scale, like that makes it really easy to actually build out one-to-one or one-to-few feeling campaigns and like exactly. Not a super heavy lift. That sounds fantastic. As we think through content, what are some of the content resources that you have been using for your outbound programmings on this front?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for example, when it comes to video, the content that I do try to be more, I try to do things that are more human. Let's say that there's one of the companies that I work with that they do a lot of events. So I leverage Vidyard, well now SenseSpark, I'm leveraging it to create some key takeaways after the meeting, the event. The thing is that when we are talking about events, I mean, now people want to go to events and there are some companies that they are not going to an event and there's a FOMO thing on it. So there's a cool thing to do and is to reach out to those people that couldn't make it and then to send them a personalized video with some key takeaways from that event.
Yeah, I mean, again, super smart because I know myself when I see a bunch of my LinkedIn friends going to an event and I didn't get the opportunity to go, I will definitely comment like I'm experiencing the greatest sense of FOMO right now. Like taking things like that and then creating the takeaways is such a smart way to be personalized. You can even reference it and just say like, hey, I saw your comment on so-and-so's post. Wanted to give you some of the key takeaways in case you wanted to know some of the things that we learned while we were there. Would love to see you at the next one. Like, and that's just such a great way to, again, build some form of a one-to-one relationship that clearly shows you're paying attention.
Yes. And I think that after a meeting, everyone, I mean, on LinkedIn, we run into a lot of content that is about like very formal kind of information. And I think that this type of content is more casual, it's more human. And we are getting a little bit into the kind of gossip part of it. And yeah, people love stories.
Yeah. I mean, we're all captivated by a good story. So I'm curious, are there any other content mediums and content assets that you'd recommend for these kind of programs?
Yeah. So there's one piece of content that I really enjoy. That is the free consultancy sessions. So instead of saying the word demo or meeting or online coffee, I think that the fact of proposing a free one-to-one consulting session is a content itself, because I mean, we are going to give a lot of information there, out there to the person. So that's a good way to get more more meetings for an ABM campaign.
Yeah, I'm curious on that front, because the challenge that I've experienced on that is the conversion out of it. Because I've, you know, unless I'm at a conference and somebody's sitting down, they're like, oh, how would you do this? Like, I'm happy to give away anything for free. And I've even done a couple where I will record the meeting and I'll re-release it as a podcast episode. We just started to do a couple of those. But like, for me personally, I've not seen the free consulting convert well. So I'm just curious on that front of like, how do you transition giving away your expertise for free in a consultative session to then, hey, if you want more of this, like you got to pay for it.
Yeah. So I think that, I mean, I'm utilizing this technique for my business, but most importantly or more often I've used that with other ABM programs. And the way that I go about it is to kind of productize it or kind of create templates on it so that it is a little bit like A, B, C, and it doesn't take a lot of my time. Yeah, so that's the way that I would go about it. Yeah, try to bring a lot of value upfront at the beginning. Try to put like a kind of a ribbon on it to make it look like pretty.
Yeah.
And then create a template, something that can be created, something. And then you get that. I mean, the prospect gets that at the end of the meeting. It can be like something free, like a diagnosis test, an assessment, but something that doesn't take a lot of time on our side either.
Yeah. The only way that I've seen conversions out of these free, and this is clearly I need to go develop a template, but it works well for like referrals of like, hey, if you have any friends that need help like this is what I do for a living. That's how I've seen it work super well. And I don't know, it's something that, cause I know that it works and I'm just curious if you had any other thoughts, but it sounds like the template is a great way cause I can walk away with it. And it almost sounds like the consulting session is more for lack of a better discovery process of like, hey, here are all the problems that you're currently experiencing and here are some ways that you could solve it, but then they're probably going to end up asking you for help. So that I think that sounds like a great content asset. Any other thoughts just around different content assets that you could use for these kinds of outbound programs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I like everything that is visual and that's actionable. So I really love checklists, assessments, like interactive assessments. That's actually like a little bit of the taste that I think that people can see on my LinkedIn posts. So I try to apply that to my ABM programs. So for example, on Canva, you can do a lot of things. I mean, it's a no-brainer. Yeah.
You're correct. Your LinkedIn posts are some of the most helpful visual aids as it relates to how do you actually go build out some ABM programs, or just even the times that you're pulling out quotes from people is really helpful. So Couldn't agree more. The last couple of questions that I've got are just, as you look to measure success, I'm curious how do you measure success in these kinds of programs?
Yeah, so I think that there are different, I measure success or my KPIs revolve around three layers. So we have something that the first layer that is very operational. So it's about engagement metrics. So what is the click-through rate? If we are talking about outreach campaigns, what is the open rate? And then compared to the previous BDR outreach cadences that they had in-house. And then I have another layer that is more about meetings booked or opportunities generated. So that's something that is, those KPIs are shared between marketing, sales. And then we have another like top line type of objectives that revolve around everything that is related to revenue. So those are like really like top line, like shared by everyone in the company. So I think that as ABMers or as revenue professionals, we cannot just rely on revenue, and we need to kind of combine those three type of levels of KPIs. Because, for example, engagement metrics, they are a good indicator of whether our campaign is resonating with our audience. And if it is the case, then we know that the revenue is going to come at some point.
Yeah, I mean, I've always said engagement, pipeline, revenue. Like those are the three metrics. However you want to measure that in the context of your program, but like if you can measure those three things, you know you're winning.
Yeah, so that's a super good, very concise way to go about it.
So just a last couple of quick questions. As you've been looking at building out these programs, and I know you've built some with a couple of clients, like what are the roadblocks that you run up against as you're building these things?
So one of the main roadblocks that I see is the maturity level of companies when it comes to ABM. So something that I do in my sales process, especially in my discovery call, is to try to pinpoint the level or to try to assess the level of maturity, and if they are not ABM ready, I mean, bring it up as soon as possible so that they are aware that they are not ready or that they are not mature, and that maybe they need like a previous stage of it. Not, I mean, I don't want to scare them off either, but I think that we need to be cognizant of it.
Yeah, in every conversation I have, I bring up the top three reasons why ABM fails and say like, you may not be experiencing these things right now, but as you go to build ABM, like just keep a pulse on this of like, is marketing and sales aligned? Do we have the resources to actually go build the program? And do we know what we're measuring? If you can't solve for those three things, you cannot build a program. So
Those
kind of
are
always bring it back to that.
really great questions to bring up like up front. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So again, this has been a super helpful playbook for somebody that's trying to figure out how to get started of just, again, let's identify an audience that is showing some form of existing engagement or maybe it's intent. Admittedly, this may be a hot topic, but I don't love starting with exclusively just intent. I like to start with intent plus something else to get a better direction around why we're reaching out. But then again, outbound through LinkedIn, email, direct mail, making it super personalized. And then from there, one-to-one videos using tools like SendSpark for that really one-to-one feeling. And then also using tools like Limlist in order to build out, again, your outbound sequencing, but also some of the personalized content. And, you know, at the end of the day, if you're not aligned with marketing and sales, then you're going to experience some challenges from an ABM maturity perspective. But I think overall, this is a really, really great starting point for a lot of people because it's in a lot of ways kind of an ABM light program. It's heavy on the sales side from an outreach perspective, but it leverages marketing for what marketing does best, which is orchestration, reporting capabilities, and really highly personalized content. So I think this is a great starting point for a lot of people.
Yes,
Before somebody goes to get
that's a great
started,
summary.
Is there anything else you'd recommend for somebody as they're thinking about getting started with ABM?
I mean, I would say that to start small and then to scale, and then to get into the weeds as soon as possible, and try to when we are strategizing it, try to think about how we are going to operationalize it, and then build the strategy from there.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Everything we do is a process. Like, if you don't build out a process, then like, I always make the joke of, you know, when you go to build your first program, the worst thing that can happen is it's a complete and utter failure. The second worst thing that can happen is it's a massive success and you have no idea as to why. And now you've set this expectation internally that this is what ABM is, when in reality, you probably just got lucky and nobody wants to admit that. So again, if you don't have a clear process, you can't repeat it, you can't scale it. So build the process. I love it. If you want to find out more about you, where can they find you?
Yes. So I create content on LinkedIn every day. So you can find me on LinkedIn. I will be talking about ABM and talking with my audience. Yeah.
I love it. Well, again, Tani, thanks so much for joining me today. This has been Scrappy ABM. We'll see you in the next one.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Scrappy ABM. If you enjoyed this week's episode, go ahead and give us a follow so that you don't miss a single episode. We drop every single Monday so that you can start your week off right. And if you're looking for additional great content just like this, go check out scrappyabm.com. We're building a library of frameworks, guides, templates, processes, and tools so you have everything that you need to build a low-budget, high-impact, scrappy program. Again, thank you for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. This has been your host, Mason Cosby, and we look forward to seeing you in the next one.